And welcome back. I wish I could do my Bela Lugosi. I was never a good Bela Lugosi imitator, but that would be perfect. Welcome back. Maybe he's got that in one of his movies. I can find a clip. All right. It's time to talk to the master, the maestro of remote viewing, Mr. or Sir to all of us, Sir Richard Allgaier. Welcome back. What are you doing?
Hello, Jeffrey. I'm sitting here getting ready to talk to you, trying to stay warm in Hawaii where it's, it's 75 degrees. So we're
trying to stay warm at 75. Do you know a lot of people listening right now can't afford to keep their home thermostat at 75? Mine is 65. And it's, well, anyway, you're going
to
make it.
It got down to 65 the other night, and my wife, Mimi, put on like 3 pair of yoga pants, pajamas, two tops, a sweatshirt. She was really cold. She was like,
Did she list your condominium as for rent?
Yeah, well,
that's the danger
actually,
signal.
I'm not joking, because when you live for many, many years in a temperature range of 80 degrees to 85 degrees,
right,
you get used to that. And if it dips down below 70, it actually feels cold. You know, 75 to 85 is the temperature in Hawaii on a pretty regular. It's really nice. I mean, the climate here is can't be beat. But yeah, people in Hawaii were complaining on social media, like, "Oh man, it's 65 here. We no have long pants." So
I don't know.
Crazy. Well, here's the thing. That we're having rolling blackouts on Oahu.
How so? What's causing this?
The climate idiots shut down one of our coal-fired plants. The legislature mandated that we have to be totally green energy by 2030 or something like that. And so they're shutting down. They're forcing Hawaiian Electric to shut down the, quote, fossil fuel, which not fossil fuel, plants. And so we last year shut down a coal plant, and then one had a little problem. And so they're saying, hey, we don't have enough electricity. And each neighborhood gets a half hour of no electricity on a rotating basis. Hasn't hit me yet. But it's just if you go to Google Earth and you look at the Pacific Ocean, you can't even find Oahu on the wide shot. You can't even see the Hawaiian Islands. It's this tiny, tiny speck in the middle of this vast ocean. CO2 is not a pollutant. It doesn't warm the atmosphere. It has no effect or negligible effect. And they're going crazy because of just, I don't know, it's just nuts.
That's what communists do, Dick. You know that.
Yeah. I would ask the climate people, does the sun affect the Earth's climate? Yes or no?
And they'd have to think about it, I'm sure.
Is it conceivable that the sun could affect the climate? Okay. Is the sun's output constant? Now, you'd have to check with a scientist over that, and the scientist would tell you no. And then you'd ask them, was the Earth ever warmer than it is now or cooler than it is now prior? Was there ever a warming period prior to the use of carbon fuels? Yes. Okay, and my last question, does concrete and asphalt cause a location to become warmer or cooler than areas where there are trees and water? Concrete and asphalt makes the temperature go up a couple of degrees, and they do the temperature readings for global warming in cities that they've made warmer by putting in concrete, and it's like, it's all a hoax. And fossil fuels aren't from fossils. There's
Oh, thank you. I've been saying that for 25, 30 years. It's a joke. It's petroleum. It's the Earth's. Some people describe it as it's the Earth's blood. It's always being created through a geophysical process deep down in the crust, and then it's pushed up toward the surface, and it ends up pooling in what we call oil fields. Okay, And the proof of that statement is very simply found in oil fields that are virtually pumped dry, and people come back 10 years later and they're loaded again. There's more being made all the time through these geothermal, I think they're geothermal, but geological processes.
They found hydrocarbons on other planets and other moons that are that didn't have dinosaurs. I mean, it's just ludicrous fossil fuel. Like, what, a dinosaur turns into oil or some
it's disgusting,
leaves?
Dick.
Yeah.
No, don't even
go there.
Oh,
it was under great pressure. But we've been fed total lies the whole time. Just total lies.
And so, let me repeat one other thing. This entire upcoming year, and today the Iowa caucuses kicked off the presidential primary season, it's all scripted. It's all done. They're just implementing what they've laid out years ago, how this is going to go this year. Nothing is left to chance. Don't forget.
It may not be completely scripted, but it is a made-for-TV reality show. I mean, are great actors.
Oh,
they're all playing.
They allow certain things to happen, of course, just to keep it fluid. It can't be that scripted, but look, they're not letting anything happen unless they want it to happen.
No.
Okay?
No,
and if it does,
nothing happens
correct
that
it.
Isn't, controlled.
No.
Nothing happens.
All by the plan.
But what you have to realize is that the greater picture is planned decades in advance, like 50 years in advance, 100 years in advance. They decide where humanity is going to go. So I sent you a picture, and
I can't put it up.
I know how to look at things.
My webmaster
is gone. Yeah, you can't put it up, but we'll describe
gone.
It. We'll describe it. I just did that for you. So I know how to look at things now, because I've been given, I've been being mentored in how these things work. And the power elite, they're always sending messages to each other in plain sight, and when you learn how to read them. So if you look at Trump's stage in Iowa tonight, mm-hmm. and there are some people will say, oh, Dick, that's just a conspiracy. You know, that doesn't really mean that, but it really does. If you look at the flags behind Trump, he put the full Monty on it. It's all there. They have the eagle on top of the staff. They have a whole bunch of flags behind him. Every staff has an eagle on top, gold tassel on the edge of the flag, and a gold braid, a tassel down hanging off the flagpole. Man, that is a statement of. The eagle means I'm representing the authority of the Roman Empire.
That's a subservient statement.
The gold trim means,
of course.
The gold trim means this event is under admiralty law, and the tassel means this is who controls the military. So Trump was making a statement. I think that shows Trump will win. He'll be the president. He's
certainly showing obedience, no question about it. These flags for you listening are the kind of a flag you'll see. There's a brass round bottom about 18 inches round, and then the pole comes up from that. It's brass. It's about 6 feet tall, and there's an eagle on top, and then the flag hangs down from that tall brass pole. And there's 16 of them across the back of the stage, and there's a podium, a rostrum in the middle, and they're whatever. Look, it's all just showbiz. Okay, it's all showbiz. And they're talking back and forth with symbols and imagery all the time.
Yeah, so that's a big statement right there. Yeah, and the eagle means that's the Roman that goes back to the Roman Empire. And if it actually goes to Greek, if you look at any court in America, like the Supreme Court and a lot of the courthouses in America where they have the pillars, the white pillars, the stairs going up to the pillars, and then the triangle, and then there's figures in the triangle. That goes back to the Greek temple of the Greek gods. who
yep.
represented the gods who created this whole thing. We were...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the message goes throughout time. So, yeah, the... I think it, like I said, it's the greatest reality show. Like, you couldn't write a better script. This DA in Georgia.
Fannie Wallace. What the hell is her name?
Fannie Willis. Right, her name, it's really pronounced Fonny, but Fonny.
Oh, excuse me.
Fanny. I call it Fanny. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course it's Fanny.
But she's getting a lesson here on you're taking on a man as powerful as Donald Trump and don't think he has private investigators who can look into every aspect of you and your boyfriend's past. She hired her lover and paid him like double the going rate, like $700,000. And then went on vacations with him.
Everywhere now. It's all.
Yeah.
They're all crooks. All of them.
I'd be willing to bet, though, that Trump put his investigators on her and that's what they dug up. Now it's coming out.
Well, let's see about accountability here at the end of the day. I'm not optimistic.
Yeah,
we'll see. Now, Dick, of course, is one of the world's great proponents and experts in the field of Bitcoin and cryptos. And Brother Nathaniel just wrote, let me say something before I read a little bit of this. It's really nice to see now that more and more people are really beginning to wake up. It's too late, but they're beginning to wake up in terms of observing and understanding and processing how the planet is being controlled, who's controlling it, how the money game runs most everything. They're beginning to wake up. But it's the shots have been given, 13 billion injections, 600 million in the U.S. The shots have been given. And they are just ruthless in what they're doing to people. So many people are sick now and getting worse. So here, Brother Nathaniel writes, Jews now own Bitcoin. Larry and Gary are screwing the goyim once again, writes Brother Nathaniel. Together they've taken over Bitcoin's once decentralized trading venue. Larry Fink owns BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, the top global asset managers. Gary Gensler runs the Security Exchange Commission, the SEC, the overseer of trades on Wall Street. That's the fox guarding the hen house, in case you didn't get it. Larry and Gary are Jewish. Wall Street is run by Jews, the likes of people like David Solomon of Goldman Sachs, Ken Fisher of Citigroup, Jamie Dimon, etc., etc. So Larry Gensler and Larry Fink put their heads together to arrange a public ETF, an exchange trading funds, to be run by Fink and approved for Wall Street trading by Gensler. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I know all about it. I've done segments on it. I knew it was coming. I'll give you my take on it.
Yeah, please. That's what I want. I know you did, but I just wanted to give an entry. Exchange trading funds, ETF. Go ahead.
It's a way to dilute Bitcoin. It's a way for these guys to make money off of Bitcoin. It's what an exchange traded fund is. It represents the spot price of Bitcoin. So yeah, they've got to buy a little bit of Bitcoin just to, like, fractional reserve banking. Like, we're holding some Bitcoin, but they allow people to make bets on the price of Bitcoin.
Right.
So this is, in what you have, if you look at the history of what Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon said about Bitcoin, Jamie Dimon a few years ago was saying, oh, this is total crap. It's BS. It's a total Ponzi scheme. And Fink, by the way, Fink runs BlackRock, which is the largest investment firm on earth. So he's in charge of like $100 trillion or something. Big, big power player.
Right.
A few years ago, Fink was saying Bitcoin is an index of money laundering. It's only for money laundering and criminals, and it's nothing that you want to invest in. Now, this last week, he's saying Bitcoin is an asset that will protect your wealth. So he's changed his tune. Why did he say one thing a few years ago and he's saying another thing now?
Right.
People like Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon and Gensler, they're big players in the financial system. We are in a transition to a new financial system. It was imprudent for them to come out and admit that Bitcoin was going to be a store of value 5 years ago or 3 years ago. They couldn't say that because they have too much power in the system. Everybody, it would have crashed the system. So now is the time that they've got to up a way to trade it and make money off the idiots that are going to buy the ETFs. And they're allowing more money to go into Bitcoin. They're in charge of an orderly transition of the financial system. They know, these guys know 50 years ahead of time what's going to happen. So an exchange-traded fund, as I said, is a way to dilute Bitcoin. Do not buy an ETF. If you want to invest in Bitcoin, buy some Bitcoin. It's not hard to learn how to do. And what they're claiming is, oh, it's too complicated, and you have to be custodian of your own Bitcoin, and you're just not smart enough to do that. Let us be the custodian. Let us make the bets for you. So yeah, right. They're making money off the masses with it, but it is important that they're now admitting that Bitcoin is an asset that will protect your wealth. They were saying a few short years ago that Bitcoin would go to zero, that it was valueless, like tulip bulb craze. Oh, it's just a Ponzi scheme. And now they're admitting that, yes, it will be a store of value. You know, Jeff, my history in this goes back 30 years ago. I was just working at a TV station investing in a 401k, and I had no understanding of how the system worked. And listening to your program, 25 years ago, I was listening to your guests explaining the Federal Reserve, explaining fractional reserve, explaining how the dollar is losing its value, would continue to lose value. And at that point, 25 years ago, I invested in gold. I can remember
Bill Murphy. It's like, remember Bill Murphy, yep, of GATA, G-A-T? I used to have, yep, Bill on often. And he's still running it, I guess.
I can remember the moment, you know, like, remember where you were when Kennedy was shot, and remember where you were when 9/11 happened. Yeah. I can remember where the light went off for me. I was cleaning my shower stall. I was listening to your program on the archives on an MP3 to that guest.
At least it wasn't a horse stall.
With a scrubber scrubbing my shower stall. Yeah. And I went, oh, I've got to get gold. So I did. Mimi and I bought gold in late 90s. And 2 to 3x'd our money. So thank you for that. And then...
You're welcome. We do encourage our listeners to clean their shower stalls while they tune along with us. That's fine.
This is not investment advice, so...
Right.
Anyway, then I learned about, I need to cough. Okay, got the cough button. Sorry about that. something in my
no
throat.
No problem.
I learned that the financial system is not, we're not going back to gold and silver. That's several centuries ago.
Okay,
we're
so that's, that, all right, hold on. Now, China has been buying a lot of gold. India, Russia has been buying gold. We've been dumping it. So is this something that would reflect on our policy of dumping much of our gold, that we knew we're not going back to gold and silver?
Well, I think gold and silver will have their time when the fiat system collapses. There will be a time when you'll see a run-up and gold and silver will be valuable. So I still hold some. But ultimately, we're going digital. I mean, corporations and nation states are not going to settle debts
by hauling
around
a ton of
gold.
No, or silver. So we're going digital. They may claim they're going to tie it to gold and silver, but it'll still be digital, and it'll still be us trusting them. Yes, you've got enough gold to back that up. Fine, we'll work on a digital basis as long as it's backed by gold. Har, har.
Well, let me offer this. Let me go really far out on you. Would you do interplanetary, interstellar commerce, hauling gold around in a, no, it would be in a digital thing.
Well,
So
you'd store it here and then transmit it digitally, right? At the speed of light.
yeah,
Zip.
but the average person is not going to go buy things on Amazon with silver. You're not going to go to your store and offer a piece of silver and gold. You're going to
No.
offer, and Larry Fink, in his statement where he said Bitcoin is an asset, he said Bitcoin will never be a currency. It's not going to be used as a currency. There will be other cryptocurrencies, the Digibyte, Litecoin, things that are faster and more nimble. So there's going to be a, where we're heading is to blockchain, digital blockchain, distributed ledger technology, monitoring all transactions in real time, so that the owners of this place, the creators of this place, the administrators of this place, will be able to know what
Oh,
resources are going
total.
where,
Absolute
everywhere in real
control.
time.
Total control.
Complete real-time control. They will
Yes.
be, you will be a consumer, a participant, or a producer. Those will be the three designations. If you're a consumer, that means you're consuming more carbon credits, more calories than you produce. So you're a drain on the system, and your movement and ability to buy things will be limited. If you're a
Right,
participant, that
right.
will mean you're neutral. If you're a producer, you will be responsible for creating more calories, more carb, or less or carbon credits. They're going to carbon credits. They're going to calories. It's going to be a whole accounting system that's
They are
totally
actually going
different
to
than what we're.
pull that carbon crap off. They really are. Wow.
Yeah, I there's a reason for it. Yeah. Well, if they can control, if they can monitor, monetize, and in real time tally what you do down to every breath you take.
Oh, they charge
That's
you
a
on
scary.
CO2 emissions then, right?
Yeah.
Well, you take, 30,000 breaths a day or whatever it is, and each breath will have 20% CO2 in its emission base. I don't know. I'm just playing games here,
Now
but and then they're going to
there are some
tax
that's,
people for
yeah.
that, for breathing? They'll tax them? Wow.
Well, it's going to be a whole different world. You're going to be a part of the Internet of Things. But what our
Well, what are
group,
you and I going to do, Dick? That's what I want to know. What are we going to do?
I'm going to hoard my Bitcoin and pay for things with the interest I make on that, and play guitar and go jump in the ocean, hopefully.
Good.
I'm
Well, don't forget buying the new house.
working on that.
All
Working on
right.
that. I think Bitcoin will hit 100,000 this year. I'm pretty confident it
Good.
will.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you've
It
got
will.
to pick your spot and you got to make your move whenever
Yeah.
that
Well,
spot hits.
working on it.
All
Yeah,
right.
working on it. So it's just getting crazy though. I mean, it's you see the what's happening to the airlines with their diversity equity.
Yeah, sure. They're putting 65 IQ people in the co-pilot seat soon.
The FIA wants to hire people with intellectual and psychiatric disabilities as part of...
I ran the story. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. The FAA, friends, in case you missed that, now has made it official. They are looking to expand hiring to include, there's that inclusion again, people with mental health issues and other problems that are not something you want in an airliner, especially in the cockpit. For God's sake.
We almost lost a big jet here in Hawaii last year. About 8 months ago, 9 months ago. A plane took off from Maui, and it was climbing to altitude, and it suddenly almost dropped in the ocean. They came within a couple thousand feet of plunging into the ocean, and it covered up.
Is that the one they did a restart on? The engines?
I think the pilots just didn't know how to fly the plane.
Oh no.
Was my understanding of it.
Oh my. Well, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I think they said appropriate steps were taken and the pilot training was addressed, or some, you know, they couched it in terms like that. Like, we're going to double check our pilot procedural training.
You know,
but I think it was a diversity hire. What the insiders, the good pilots are saying is, up until now, they've been teaming up an experienced pilot, like somebody who
is a white male that was
trained by the Air Force and really knows how to fly a plane, with the young blue-haired DEI and the diversity people. But those experienced people are retiring, or they left they wouldn't take the COVID thing. And so now you're going to get a whole flight crew of the DEI hires that don't know what they're doing. They're not qualified. So you see the video of the ladies that, what was it called? Spirit Aerosystems or something. They make the plane doors for Boeing.
No, I didn't see that video.
Oh, okay.
That was the one that blew out of the Dreamliner, right?
Yeah.
The exit door.
It was a subcontractor called Spirit Aerosystems.
Mm-hmm.
Totally woke, and there is a video of those workers at a conference or a trade show or something, and they had Spirit Aviation, and it was all these female, like Joe Biden type voters, dancing out to some music like, hey, we are so strong women, you know, like, look at us, we're woke women, and we work.
Yeah.
And that's the company that made the door, and they were checking the doors, and like, the bolts weren't put on right on a whole bunch of them. So there was a documentary I watched on Netflix a couple of years ago called Downfall, The Case Against Boeing, and it looked at the 737 MAXs. Two of them went down, like in Indonesia and Africa.
I saw that same documentary. They explained why it happened. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. They were too lazy to design a new plane. They tried to put big engines on the old plane design. And then a couple of the engineers for Boeing saying, hey, we used to have safety check. Man, we were meticulous on checking these planes. Mm-hmm. We took pride. Boeing was the best. And now the bean counters came in and said, get these things out. Don't spend so much time on quality control. We don't need that.
We know when this society really began to die in earnest, when the politicians and the liberal left-wingers began to push this, it was even prior to the DEI logo, so to speak. They began to push with affirmative action and all that.
Yeah.
That's when they turned away from what made this country great, and its people great, and its businesses great, everything great, because it was all predicated, for the most part, all predicated on merit. You didn't get anywhere unless you were damn good, and they picked the best. And then they decided that politically, that's not fair. No, we got to bring in these other people with their 65 IQs. Never mind they can't read or write. We've got to have equity and inclusion. When we lost our way and walked away from merit-based hiring, that was it. That was the beginning of the final fall. Yeah. That's my view.
Well, to have a viable country, you have to have it run on a meritocracy, meritocracy, and you have to have free speech. And we don't have free speech anymore.
There's more censorship going on, dear friends, than, and I'm not talking about you who don't live in the U.S., but especially you who live here. There's more censorship going on here than you can understand. It's incrementally every day going. It's getting worse. Censor. Or they just dump you from whatever.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I've got a friend that runs a business, and he actually does, they're financial people, and they found ways within the law to allow people to create their own self-directed IRA and invest in precious metals or cryptos that they had self-custody of. So, like, if you have a 401k and you're retired, you don't have to leave it with all the traditional firms. You could take it out. They'll make an LLC for you. I actually did it with my 401k. Anyway, these guys were doing financial stuff that was completely legal. It's totally within the law. But they involved cryptos, and they saw what was happening. And the one partner said to his other partner, he goes, they're either going to put us out of business or put us in jail. We have to either leave the country or stop doing business, or they'll jail us. And they went down to El Salvador. They were looking at Argentina. Argentina, the inflation is just crazy. But I did a segment with him, and he said, Dick, the U.S. is in tyranny. People don't realize it, but it's already in tyranny.
Agreed.
It's already in.
Yeah, I agree.
I know you're not. You say anything you want on your program, but I do YouTube and social media, and I self censor all the time. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
I can't say that. No, I'm not going to
no
do
longer,
that.
No.
I woke up one morning, and I think that's why I got so sick a year and a half ago. Because just prior to that, I woke up and I logged onto my YouTube channel, and it said, this channel has been removed. I went, what? And I had my, like, 3 years of work or 4 years of work, 600 videos, and this has been removed. It's just black with white lettering. You're gone. I was like, they didn't like something I said.
And it can be something
stuff.
That you wouldn't even guess that they'd object to necessarily. You wouldn't know. The video at the top of the homepage now, the Tunnel Rabbis video.
Tonight. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you like
it? You couldn't put that on YouTube. Yeah, I did watch it. What's going on with that? Over there.
They pumped concrete in there, and they buried all the evidence. They said they had to fill the tunnel.
No, Jeff, that was just a structural problem. They needed some cement down to wouldn't cave in.
Mm-hmm. Never mind engineering, never mind steel, never mind any. Just pump some concrete in there, and that'll take care of it. And they didn't fill the whole thing up to the top. I don't believe that. A 300-foot... No, 900-foot long.
900-foot tunnel. Yeah,
that's a lot of concrete. If you're going to fill that up, anyhow, that video was taken down by Rumble 3 times.
Oh, Rumble took it down.
Yep. Listen, come on. Rumble is owned by Peter Thiel, Musk's old partner, and so forth, and it's all Tribe. And BitChute's owned. I think it's BitChute. One of them is owned by the BBC. Yeah, look, they can shut those down and remove all the videos anytime they're ready. They're
it's
just suckering
opposition.
People in there. Yes.
Controlled
opposition. So we've got videos, and the expulsion video, we figured it got over 5 million views total. There's no joke. This one is going to go big, too. I put it up at the top of the page. 3 times they Rumble quashed the link. So it's up there now, and it works. But your censorship is everywhere, and we are living in a tyranny. And, yes, it could get a hell of a lot worse real fast.
Well, I'll do my plug right now. I'll do the 30-second commercial. I have a private site called futureforecastinggroup.com, all one word, futureforecastinggroup.com. It is allowed. You can say whatever you want in a private membership organization. So I can't go on YouTube. I can't go on Rumble. Yeah, for now, if you buy a membership, you can come to that, and we do give a bit of truth there. I had I met a real interesting guy over the weekend who was...
Does your wife know about this?
Yeah, we have a real liberal marriage. Sometimes I like to explore. No, I'm joking. I don't know.
No, I'm kidding. You're kidding.
I met a guy. All right. Yeah, we met a guy that was in the U.S. military back 40 years ago. Yeah, 40 years ago.
He must have some perspective stories to share.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear this. He was with the Army Security Agency, which is a pretty elite posting. There was only in the Army Security Agency a couple thousand people. So they all mm-hmm. knew each other. Mm-hmm. And this guy was a young African American guy, and the soldier that I know who was his sergeant said he was a real, real smart guy. And Army Security Agency, they were real specialized. That was the precursor to the National Security Agency. Mm-hmm. So they were the intelligence arm of monitoring things. And this guy was working at a base here in Hawaii. He said he was living a really good life. He had a nice sports car, and life was good, man. Based in Hawaii, working for the ASA and working with another friend of mine. And he suddenly got reassigned. And he got reassigned to a place called Fort Sam Houston. I think that's
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. This is MK Ultra. Mm-hmm. And the people that worked with him said, "Hey, where did so and so go?" And they go, "He went down to there." And they were all like, "Well, what's going on?" And then they heard that he ran afoul, like he was charged with like robbing a bank or something, but they knew that wasn't true. But the guy was discredited, and then they lost track of him. But he just surfaced because he saw the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, right. And he went. It triggered something in him. He started having deja vu because his memory had been erased. Uh-huh. But there was enough of that movie was actually. My friend, who was the character, the George Clooney character, was my friend, and he was a consultant on the movie and told them a whole bunch of real stuff. So the movie was kind of a farcical, comedic look at the Army's super soldier program, you know, Project Jedi and all this remote viewing and killing mm-hmm. goats with staring at them and all this stuff. But this guy... It wasn't called MK Ultra then. It had something else, and I don't know the name. They won't tell me. It would be like even saying the name would be a no-no. But this guy was sucked into the MK Ultra thing, and I think he was experimented on ruthlessly. Mm-hmm. They wanted to see how screwed up they could make them on LSD or other things, and if they could still function. And they put this guy through the ringer, and he came out the other side. He saw Men Who Stare at Goats, and it triggered memories. And he's doing okay now. They gave him a back pay, an honorable discharge.
Oh.
And they're paying him money, and he's a pastor at a church down in the South. I don't want to say where, but is doing okay. I had a long conversation with him. I might try to get him to come out and do a segment with me, like a little mini documentary. Be interesting.
If you but want you're the friend you're talking about, I know,
yeah,
your good friend. If you want to invite him on the program, just tell him he's welcome to come on and talk about anything he'd like. That'd be fun.
We should do that. He'd be a really interesting guest. We had
he was on
about
once
that
before,
in the past.
And yeah, and but
did
yeah he was
we
on.
Had him on yeah
it was internal to the hour. It wasn't like a build appearance. We kind of just got him online and talked to him for a bit, but he's certainly welcome here. Just tell him, that'd be good.
Well, he's the well we can say his name. It's Glenn Wheaton. He taught me remote viewing, and he's
right.
If you look at The Men Who Stare at Goats, in the credits it says the character of Lynn Cassidy is based on First Sergeant Glenn Wheaton, mm-hmm. U.S. Army Special Forces. So he was the character. A lot of people claim credit that they were that it was based on them, but it says in the movie script it was based on Glenn. So, yeah, he doesn't want to be in the limelight. He doesn't want to be,
right.
You know, any notoriety.
Right.
But he's interesting.
Well, he can always come on with an alias, too, although you just named it, but anyway.
No, he'd come on. He's coming on more. I mean, he's more and more public.
Well, he's been on. Did he know Pat Price, or was he after Pat?
I don't think he knew Pat Price, but he gave us Pat Price as a target to work. And I don't think we were students at the time. I don't think we excelled on that. But Pat Price was a retired police detective who had solved crimes based on his, quote, intuition. And
yeah.
They tested him. And
Burbank Police Department.
He was one of the best remote viewers ever. He did a remote viewing of a place near in Virginia, a really top secret area where there's no radios allowed. It's a NSA listening post. And he went in this place and he got code words and code names and was reading stuff off the wall. And he had a heart attack after that.
Well, what happened?
Funniest thing.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the feeling that he had gone to work on a contract basis for the CIA and did so well, it scared the hell out of him. And they said, we can't have this guy running around able to find out our secrets. The world is run on secrets. And he was coming home or somewhere, and somebody kind of bumped into him, and he felt this real sharp pain in his leg. And he was stabbed with an umbrella or a cane or something like that.
Mm.
And he died the next day. They killed him.
Yeah.
I don't know if they called it a heart attack or not, but he was murdered. There's no question.
I was doing a remote viewing the other day. This is cool. I don't know if it's valid data, but I was I got deep into the target, and what happens is this little image forms. Your eyes are closed and you see this little flickering movie start playing. And I go, okay, that's it. And I was looking in a upscale residential area at like a backyard, like a big yard out behind some nice old style houses. And at one point a name came to me of a street name. Right. And it was like, blah, blah, blah. And I wrote it down, and it was in a foreign country. I knew it was foreign country because they're driving on a different side of the road, and the subway was called a tube. So I go, God, I think I got this street name. So I sketched this place where I'd seen this meeting taking place in a backyard with a patio and a little pool. And it was like hedges around it, like a big yard and a bunch of big yards and then a residential street. And it was a pretty clear image. And so I got this street name. And so I finished the session and I went, I wonder if there is a... It wasn't a common name. It would try to think of one. It would be like, I can't say what it was. I break protocol, but I typed blah, blah, blah road and where I thought the, and I found it on Google Earth and I was looking and I saw the yard that I saw. I saw the picture on Google Earth was the same place I'd seen. I don't have feedback on it. I'm still blind. I do the feedback on Wednesday, but if that's real, that's going to be one of my better remote viewings. Working on that one. Are we there, Jeff? I don't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. I was just leading away.
Multitasking. Yeah, that's good. I do the same thing. But anyway.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are we getting any
remote
closer?
Remote viewing is a mind. It messes with your mind. Like you introduced me as like this great remote viewer. It's hard to come up to that standard every week. It's like, oh, I got to do that again.
Well, especially when you're overworked like you are. I don't know how you do it. But
last
requires
year
a lot of
I
discipline.
Did the, last year, they gave me a target that was, I said, this is a stadium. And there's like this field. There's guys running around in a field. And I'm looking at a guy up in a box looking down. And I go, this guy's really upset because his team was winning. And at the last minute, there's like a field goal in the last 2 seconds. And I recognized the guy. He had gray hair and this. And so... I think that's the owner of the, like, Eagles. So I said, I think this target involves the Super Bowl, and the Eagles are going to lose in the last 10 seconds, and the owner is going to be really mad, and he looks like this. And so the target was the Super Bowl, who wins the Super Bowl. And I published that in, like, late December or early January, and it mm-hmm. came true. I called the Super Bowl.
I remember.
And so, so now... People are saying, so, Dick, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And I'm like, oh, man, I got to do that again. I did it last year. Do you know how hard that is to do that? Like can I just rest on my laurels? So,
no,
someday
you
maybe
it.
I'll
you,
retire.
You nailed it. I don't. Yeah, you'd be pushing your luck to do that twice in a row. That was quite a meticulous analysis.
Well, that's the thing about remote viewing. No matter how good you do on a target, they always say, do it again. Like there was a time when a Korean broadcasting, I was giving I was talking at a scientific symposium in Seoul, Korea, and the Korean media, KBS, the national broadcaster there, found out about it and said, well, let us come to Hawaii and interview you and Glenn. So they did, and I knew they were going to ask us to work at Target. Like Glenn said, do not ask these guys to work a target on camera. We don't do that. We don't prove remote viewing. And I knew they were going to do it. I said, they were coming to talk with us. And I go, these guys are going to give us a target. And so I go, I don't want to do that target with a camera on. So I got real quiet. I got a real quiet place the day we were going to meet him in the afternoon. And I mm-hmm. worked the target. And I saw this building with a round, rounded top, a big building. And inside, there was this tall ceiling, and there were benches and tall drapes and a podium and stuff. So I drew all that. And I put it in a manila envelope, and I sealed it. And when we met the Korean broadcasting crew, I said, I want you to hold this for me. It's something I need you to just... I taped it shut, and I said, sign your name and the date and hold this for me. And they said, okay. And so they're interviewing us, and they're filming the class. And they go, we want you to work a target, but you don't really have to work it. You just can pretend. And I go, yeah, here we go. So I worked the target, and it was the Korean National, the where they hold their legislature, and I got it right. And as soon as we showed it to him, the guy said, oh, do that again. I said, nah, I did it once.
Yeah, sure.
So,
no, that's it takes a lot of energy.
It does. A lot of energy. It messes with your mind, too.
Well, you also have an ability to... You have a very, I would suggest, finely tuned, intuitive capability. That's not remote viewing necessarily, but maybe it is. You got good intuition.
Well, we all do. If we would only listen, everybody thinks thousands of thoughts every day, and if you wrote them all down and paid attention to them, you'd know that it was like. I was driving my wife's car 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, a couple of weeks since I've talked to you last, and I said, it would be a shame if I smashed Mimi's Mercedes. And I thought, oh boy, I got to be careful. And so I went, well, that's a message, you know, why would I think that? So I drove home really careful, like I stopped at every light, I looked both directions, I drove really, and I drove it home, and I went, okay, got that one done. It's so... 4 days later, I got to go to the chiropractor, and Mimi goes, take my car so we don't have to move the parking lot. Okay, so I'm pulling in her car, and my slipper got caught in between the accelerator and the brake, and like I did an old man move, I mashed her car into a wall. I knew I was going to do that. So everybody's intuitive. Everybody has a subconscious. It's just a matter of opening up the communication pathway.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, this has been fun, as always. And say hi to Mimi. Take good care. And be safe out there.
We will. Safe. It's going to be a real show. Just enjoy the show, everybody. This is a great reality TV show. And just love your loved ones and try to not let it affect you too much.
Good advice. All right, my friend. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Talk see soon. You, Jeff.
All right. Richard Allgaier. And you can find he's got a columnist section on the left-hand side of the page. Lots of really fun things there. Okay, back tomorrow, Tuesday. See you then.